The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit RobBlack.com. RobBlack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Major stock indices started today higher, but they did yesterday as well and finished lower. Yesterday, they were clipped by weakness in mega cap stocks and semiconductor stocks, as well as general lack of conviction on the part of buyers. I want to be very clear. I think the higher interest rates creates an alternative on where people can put money, they could save and get a nice rate of return. I think the go-go easy part of the market happened in the last 5 months, and it's taken this month off. And I think that might be a trend that you want to be aware of so that you don't see your wealth in tech stocks and AI stocks shrink too much. It could happen. It doesn't have to happen. We're in earnings season where it's going to be put up or shut up today. Netflix is going to report earnings after the bell. And they're one of the first kind of, they're not quite a Magnificent Seven stock, but they should be. They should replace Tesla, in my opinion. But they're also a much more mature company. So being able to impress is getting a little bit more difficult. So the markets are trading higher right now. The word is currently underlying. There's some de-risking going on, even though the Iran-Israel situation doesn't seem to be getting worse, and therefore oil's been trading lower, i.e. Israel did not strike back after being struck. The Philadelphia Fed Index for April checked in at a 15.5 reading versus a 3.2 in March. A number above zero reflects an expansion activity. So not only did manufacturing activity in Philadelphia Fed region expand, it accelerated. The economy is doing fine. We now need to see if earnings are doing fine. Jobs in the United States are doing fine. Inflation, it stopped going down. Parts of inflation still have great year-over-year numbers looking lower. But parts of inflation, especially tied towards shelter, where we have to pay for things like insurance and repairs, property taxes and mortgage rates, all are inflationary right now. The existing home sales report for March came out at 10 a.m. this morning. That's an important one because we have many more existing homes than we do brand new home construction. With that said, it feels heavily like real estate's a little wonky due to higher interest rates. We'll talk a little bit more about that with our mortgage man, Mr. Mortgage Man, later in the show. March home sales dropped despite a surge in supply. Uh-oh, how's that happening? We needed more supply. We're getting more supply. Inventory improved slightly, rising 4.7% to 1.1 million homes. Regionally, sales fell everywhere except in the north, where they rose 4.2% month over month. Sales fell the hardest in the west, down 8.2%. Rising mortgage rates are likely the cause of the slowdown. This sales count is based on closings from contracts like signed in January and February. Mortgage rates stayed lower in January, in the mid 6% range. Then they shot higher in February. Regionally, sales fell everywhere except the Northeast. Sales fell hardest in the West, down 8.2%. Prices are highest in the West. Inventory did improve slightly, rising to 4.7% month. Number of 1.1 million. That's how many months would it take if we took the current sales numbers and the current supply? It would take 3.2 months. Now, that's better than it was last year, but it's still a very, very low supply of homes. And that means that the ones that are out there, people with cash, if they put in a cash offer and you put in a 30-year mortgage and you say, it's going to take me 15 days to close on this, they're going with the cash. Mortgage rates now are hovering around 7.5%. That's right around where you get that psychological, I can't go much higher than that. All cash purchases accounted for 28% of sales, down from 33% in February, but up from 27% a year ago. Pre-pandemic, before things got weird, as I like to say, we were right around 20%. So all cash is at 28%. Let's take a look, see if there's anything else that we have to hit as far as morning news goes. Fed Governor Bowman, he is a voter, said last night that it is not appropriate to lower rates, and she's concerned about upside risk to inflation. Cleveland Fed President Meester, meanwhile, reiterated the Fed should not be in a hurry to lower rates. Jerome Powell said it last week as well. That was more of the hawkish Fed speak that has contributed to the Fed fund futures ratings recently. In December, we were expecting 6 rate cuts. That would have really helped the real estate market. Now we're expecting 2. Last month, we were expecting 3. And we're probably looking at the back half of the year. Several mega cap Magnificent 7 stocks will report their results next week. And then that'll get us on the focus of the narrative of earnings. For now, the stock market's kind of playing between inflation, when will rates get lower, earnings. We know the jobs are good, and we know the economic data's solid. So we're not getting the reprieve there that some people may want. Some other ideas of note today. Wendy's is giving away a free order of any size French fries on Fridays for the rest of the year. Trick is you have to order something in the app, which is kind of the idea of, since California is the 6th largest country in the world, if you were to carve it outside of the United States, and fast food is now paying $20 an hour in the state of California, more apps, more kiosks, fewer workers. That's why California has the highest unemployment rate in the United States right now at 5.7%. Alphabet's Google has fired 28 employees that were involved in protests against Project Nimbus. It's a $1.2 billion joint contract with Amazon.com to provide the Israeli government and military with AI and cloud services. Alphabet's doing the AI. And 28 employees, not all of them were involved in the protests, but the ones that did physically disrupted the day. And as an employer, I get it. As an employee, you want to hope that you work for a company that respects your right to speak your mind. But I don't get much further into this than that. DoorDash, a very interesting stock, expands the non-restaurant deliveries with a Lowe's partnership. This spring, as the sun starts to warm up the sky, you can have DoorDash bring you bags of mulch. Like, wait, I thought it was a restaurant delivery platform. It is. But now they have 150,000 non-restaurant stores, up from 100,000 last year. Other things that DoorDash could bring you is things, items from Best Buy, Vitamin Shop, Sally Beauty, MAC Cosmetics, and Petco. I find that very interesting. 10-year Treasury sits at 4.56%. If you're in only high growth stocks, be careful. There are alternatives. This is not a market where there is no alternative. 30. Parking money in fixed income makes a lot of sense for a lot of the wealth on the planet. Especially when we've had such a big run in the stock market. If you need a referral to a financial planner, let me know. We'll review your portfolio, get you some feedback, tell you what you could be doing differently. Drop me an email, rob@robblackshow.com, or sign up for the event coming up May 9th in Palo Alto at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Questions about Social Security? Check out the Social Security Retirement Guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
We talked about DoorDash expanding from 100,000 non-restaurant stores to 150,000. I want to read to you what some of the analysts have to say about the company. Some negatives: that delivery may be less sticky service than mobility, driving us around. That's why some analysts like Uber. Uber can get in the same business that DoorDash gets into. DoorDash and Lyft, in my opinion, and this is not the analyst, DoorDash and Lyft have to get together. Whether it would be a nice vertical integration. Consumer food delivery habits learned during COVID-19 have continued through post-COVID era on valuation. Dash is most expensive of the peer group when you're comparing them to Uber and Lyft. But Dash seems to be the most nimble right now, and they seem to be adding the most services. It's the type of stock that I have on a shopping list, and I wait for pullbacks. That does not mean you should. It's just worth throwing down. One analyst hasn't outperformed, raised his price target to 175 based on EBITDA. Now, I hate EBITDA. EBITDA means earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. It's a made-up earnings number if you didn't have to pay taxes, depreciation, amortization. And that bothers me because you do have to pay interest and taxes and depreciation and amortization. You get some benefits from the assumption of your future earnings. So I just think it's worth keeping an eye on. I'm not at the point where I need pet supplies delivered to me or something from Best Buy or mulch. But as I get older, I can certainly see the mulch. My next vehicle, I've got a light pickup right now, mid-size pickup, and my next vehicle probably won't be a truck. It'll probably be something more sedan-y for an old man who wants to look cool. I know you're saying that describes everything but you, Rob. I know, you're kind of right. It does. Other stories of note today. I think this one's worth scratching. Netflix is going to report their earnings tonight. Pressure's on. The stock is up 26% for the year, so they better show some good numbers to justify 3 or 4 months of strong performance. Netflix has been gaining traction for its twin growth strategies of cracking down on password sharing while offering an entry-level ad-supported subscription tier. The company's persuaded about 20% of the 100 million people borrowing login data to subscribe. So there's still 80% that might. The company's projecting revenue of $9.24 billion, up 13% from the year ago period. Those are nice numbers on a year-over-year. Those are numbers to get excited about. I see two analyst targets at 640 and 725 to keep interest in the stock. What do we got coming up? We got Bridgerton season 3, which I tried to watch like one episode with the spouse, and it was just dreadful for me. I'm clearly not a romantic. The Umbrella Academy season 4, Love is Blind, Arcane season 2. I thought the first season of Arcane was pretty cool. It's anime, and it's based on a video game. I liked it. Pretty solid music, too. Good storytelling. Next year, not in 2024, but in 2025, Stranger Things Season 5, Lincoln Lawyer Season 3, Wednesday from the Addams Family has been pushing it to 2025 as well. So you always have to take a look at visibility. There's 4 things that move a stock. There's how is the stock market doing, good or bad. In 5 straight up months, November, December, January, February, March, a lot of stocks can do well because the market's up. Then you look at the sector, and semiconductors were a darling in those 5 months, especially AI semiconductors. So those stocks did well. How did insurance companies do? How did regional banks do? Then you look at the individual company. Do they got a good CEO? Do they got a good COO, a CFO? Are they able to contain expenses? Are they able to expand? Are they able to borrow? Things that corporations have to do. As a company, they can do good or bad as a stock based on the company, based on the sector, and based on the market conditions up or down. But the 4th thing is visibility. So 2 things that we're going to be looking for from Netflix is, are there any shows that I'm missing there? Any movies? Quentin Tarantino said he's going to drop doing his 10th movie. And he's going to do something else. What if it's a Netflix show? Now, again, we're not expecting that. But we're expecting to hear how much Netflix is going to spend on product and media next year. Keep in mind, they benefited heavily from the writer's strike. They put on old shows like Suits that they bought from TBS or TNT or one of those companies. And it was one of the best performers of the year as a show, to the point that they're developing a spinoff of it. When you don't have to produce content because writers and actors are on strike, you go to the well with old material, of which some movie directors are hating that. Some directors, TV and movie, and writers. Like Game of Thrones from HBO. When it's licensed out to Netflix, HBO is making some money off some old content. Netflix is getting some eyeballs from people who didn't want HBO 10 years ago. But the writers, they're not getting anything new. Almost nothing. The actors, almost nothing from that relationship. Google terminates 28 employees after a multi-city protest. A lot of big foundations and groups tied towards managing money or selling stocks. Huge. So teachers' unions and their endowments and their foundations, according to the Wall Street Journal, are sellers of stocks, and they're moving money into interest rates. At pension funds are pulling hundreds of billions from stocks because that 4.5% they could lock up isn't a bad return in a highly valued market. Is that smart money or is that dumb money, do you think? I think big money tends to be smart money. Pension funds are pulling hundreds of billions from stocks and going after indexes tied towards getting 4, 4.5, 5%. Big event coming up May 9th in Palo Alto, the Elks Lodge, a wealth preservation retirement planning event. Sign up at robblackshow.com.
What's the best way to choose a financial advisor? Download our guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
About 10 months ago, I said that I was going to buy a home, a retirement home, or an investment property. I already have several. And I was going to do it sometime in the next 6 to 18 months. I'm kind of still at that range, in large part because last December we're expecting 6 rate cuts, then we're expecting 3 rate cuts about a month ago, and now we're expecting 2 rate cuts. And I'm trying to play the teeter-totter of buying a property before rates go lower, when demand will go up. So I'm still shopping, and I still don't know if I have my mind made up to talk a little bit more about this and much, much more. Mr. Mortgage Man, Scott Thompson, he's with Change Mortgage. You can call and talk to him about anything mortgages, but I have him on my show. It's MrMortgageMan.com. Getting a mortgage pre-approval is something I will be doing soon with you, because I do want to get that extra property. What things should I not do? I know I shouldn't take any big debts out on lines of credit because I want to manage that credit score right now, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, nope, that would be smart. I mean, biggest thing is don't apply for new credit cards or any type of loans, you know, or make any type of major purchases, you know, appliances, anything big ticket. You don't want that hitting your credit, and any additional debt could hurt your debt-to-income ratio and jeopardize that pre-approval.
And on top of that, I know that one of the things you'll ask for when working with me is my bank statements. And you're going to take a look to see if there was one month where I went from $100,000 cash. Why did you go down to $50,000? I bought a boat. And you'd be like, that was a bad maneuver because your assets quickly dwindled. And lenders, they don't want to lose money. They want to lend intelligently. Let's talk about another don't. Don't create job or income stability. I just talked about with you before we went on air that I'm thinking about retiring full-time, going to more part-time, staying in broadcasting. Don't know what I'm going to do with that other part-time, but it's not going to be a money endeavor per se. I need to get a property approved before I do that job instability thing. That sound about right?
Yeah. I mean, basically, lenders are looking for stable employment. So any kind of change in jobs could raise a red flag, and you just don't want to do that, especially when you're trying to get in the pre-approval process. So it, like, even if a job that's going to pay you more money seems like a good idea, a good move, which it probably is, timing-wise, you just want to be really careful.
Scott Thompson, Mr. Mortgage Man. We're talking about the don'ts, do not do when you're thinking about getting a home or a rental property, and you're going to need a mortgage assistance. Another one that showed up on the list is don't make large deposits without documentation. Now, I don't think that hits me. What does this even mean? What are large deposits without documentation?
You know, if you get a big bonus and all of a sudden, let's just say $20,000 hit your bank account, you just need to be able to explain it. So documenting everything is important. That could be just in the bank statement and what's known as, you may have to substantiate it with a letter, but other than that, just document everything.
And that's something Scott can help on. When you get a mortgage, you get a service provider and he's someone who walks you through it. He's going to ask for your statements. And let's say your in-laws want to help you out and get a home and they give you $50,000 cash to, as a deposit money. That's going to have to be documented is what he's trying to say. And he'll spot these and he'll say, I need more information. That's what a good mortgage lender does. Another don't on the what not to do. This is funny. I like the double negatives in the world. What not to do. Don't rush the process. I agree with this one because I seem too busy in my life and I want you to do all the work and I want to, you know, just tell me what you need and duh. But that's really not how it's best to shop for a mortgage because it is a big ticket item.
Well, when you're going to get a pre-approval, you're going to inevitably fill out an application. So you want to take your time. And if you have any questions, you should right away ask your lender to go over them with you or even do the application together. Lenders are going to ask for a bunch of documentation. We touched upon it, W-2s, tax returns, bank statements, whatever a lender asks for, you want to provide as quick as possible. If you take your time, your pre-approval is going to take its time. So if you want to get it fast, get it to your lender quickly.
I am not a mortgage lender expert. I know a lot because I'm kind of got some gray hairs. But what's the difference between pre-qualification and getting a pre-approval?
Well, that's a great question. Pre-qualification is just a basic assessment. If I'm talking to somebody over the phone, what kind of job do you have? How much money do you make? How much money do you have in your bank? Whatever you tell me over the phone, I'll use that to basically help pre-qualify, but it's just an estimate. A pre-approval, everything is documented. Everything we talked about earlier, from the documentation and the full application completed, that's what's going to help me get someone pre-approved.
A good lender can advise you on what you'll need for the paper trail and the process. Scott Thompson is a friend of my family's. He is also a native Santa Rosan, which is a part of California, Northern California. We know his family and they're good people. We like them very much. You can find him at changemortgage.com. Or his website that we created specifically for this segment, MrMortgageMan.com. That's MrMortgageMan.com. Call him and ask him about getting pre-qualified, pre-approval. Talk about some strategies for 2024, 2025. Like I said, I'm getting another property. It may be an income property, rental, or it may be the retirement home. I'm not sure which. I'll be working with him in the next couple of months. As I get closer to that interest rate cut that is in my head going to be when demand starts coming back big time into real estate. Thanks, Scott. Have a good day. And people can find you at MrMortgageMan.com. That's MrMortgageMan.com. Now, back to a big problem that is hitting real estate. The 10-year treasury is at a high number. 10-year treasury bond sits at 4.63%. I had to take some money out of my money market to pay some taxes recently. And I was like, oh, it's not going to be earning 4.6% anymore. And then I looked at the last 6 months. I go, well, I did really good in my NVIDIA and my Facebook and some stocks. And my option overlay strategy that I'm using for Apple created a big winner for me because I was getting income from the options, even though the stock wasn't outperforming. I wasn't losing the stock because it wasn't outperforming, but the income was consistent. So I had a strategy for stocks that underperformed. I have strategy for stocks that performed, but also on top of it, I had some cash. I've still got a lot of cash earning 4.7% in that ballpark. And There's not enough houses on the market for me to go out and say, let's use that cash for a deposit or let's get a mortgage. So I'm kind of still watching the housing market, who I think is the biggest loser from the jobs doing well, the economy doing well, earnings so far holding up nicely and improving. The thing that's a problem that's keeping interest rates high is inflation. So the Fed wants to see inflation seep down a little bit lower. And then they're only talking about two cuts. So if that takes us through the next 8 months, that's not going to get the mortgage market moving very fast. Now, again, not all mortgages are tied to the 10-year, and jumbos can be considerably cheaper than 30 years. And there is a strategy to be had there of find the property you want now, get the financing approved, it lined up, build your cash reserve so you have more for a down payment so that you're more, how shall we say, attractive to the sellers in the future. Lots going on this show. Lots going on. Tech earnings are back into the focus. AI needs to start delivering. Netflix is going to report today after the market. But then next week, we're going to start hearing from other companies. We're 17 months into the generative artificial intelligence revolution. So far, the benefits have gone to the picks and shovels players. Companies like NVIDIA, AMD, Micron, Amazon Web Services, hardware vendors like Dell and Supermicro. I think I got most of them there, most of the big ones. But now investors are going to have to start seeing software sales. And the people are going to get the profit. Wedbush analyst Dan Ives, ever the optimist, says his myriad of field checks gives him high confidence that the AI revolution has begun to hit the next gear of growth, passing the baton to software from semiconductors. He thinks first quarter results will be a major catalyst for tech shares, with potentially a 15% rally by the end of 2024. He sees AI-related outlays will be 8 to 10% of IT budgets in 2024, up from under 1% in 2023. So now we need to start seeing the software players do well. So Crabapple, this is my favorite way of describing Apple. It's been a rough year on Apple shareholders thanks to a new antitrust lawsuit from the Department of Justice. Difficult business conditions in China. Lack of AI news, which should change in June with their new annual web developers conference. So what I told you earlier in this segment is I've been using an options overlay strategy, and it's doing me very well. It's something that I have a professional institution implement for me. I pay them very little for what I get as a nice income stream for holding on to the shares and not losing them, but selling options to others that might want to play the volatility. In this case, lack of volatility on the upside. Anyhow, and anyway, Meta's platform stock has rallied 47% this year. Interesting stuff right now. Alphabet's up 12% for this year. You can find out more by listening to the show in the future, and a big event coming up in May 9th in Palo Alto at the Elks Lodge Thursday night. Sign up at robblackshow.com.
You are listening to the Rob Black Show podcast. For more information on EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
Thanks for listening to the show. Netflix is on deck today. We're keeping an eye on them. In large part, high valuation growth stock, widely owned, which can be a problem. I alluded to this, but I want to hit on this a little bit more. Pension funds are pulling hundreds of billions from stocks. Some are turning to bonds or private markets after major indices have run to records and valuations. I work with EP Wealth. I have a CFP with EP Wealth. And one of the things I get access to are stock option overlay strategies for highly concentrated positions. That keeps me a winner in the stock from income perspectives when the market goes sideways to lower in that individual stock. Pension funds have said that they're also looking into private markets. And that's private equity, private debt, and private real estate, as well as bonds. State and local government funds are swapping stocks for alternative investments. It's another thing that you get with EP Wealth and a good certified financial planning firm. I sold my firm to EP Wealth in large part because we were small at $600 million, and we had access to maybe 12, four to six products instead of the 12 to 15 that start to include all the alternatives. For instance, one of the products that I'll be using with EP Wealth is turning my physical rentals that have landlords, that makes me a landlord, that have property management. I'm going to be turning those into private equity or private real estate via 1031 exchange. It's a complicated process. It takes an institution to pull it off, in my opinion. But you should be thinking private equity, private debt, and private real estate. Private equity would be companies that aren't publicly traded, but that might need cash. Private real estate are companies that, you know, institutions will manage them. You recently saw Blackstone invest in apartment REITs, in large part because as an institution, BlackRock has got funds that are tied towards you getting income from the renters that are paying it. But BlackRock is considered a big firm that you might not get access to because you might be a typical retail investor versus a high net worth investor or working with a certified financial planning firm. So if pension funds are shifting money into bonds, they're also going after investment returns to fund future obligations. They're taking money from the big run-up in the stock market. They're locking in those gains. They're moving money elsewhere. They continue to push for higher returns without taking on more risk. Right now, the market has a risk of overvaluation as it's publicly traded. And let's face it, who hasn't heard of NVIDIA or Netflix? My board op at radio, he said, I'm looking for the next NVIDIA. Aren't we all? And that's going to be the problem. It'll be a very crowded trade when it happens. So large retirement funds rotating their positions, that means from estimates from Goldman Sachs, $325 billion in stocks this year, up to $191 billion in 2023, where you're starting to see money being pulled out of the stock market and put into private equity, private real estate, private debt, and alternative investment strategies. Pension funds for workers at companies and state and local governments together held about $9 trillion of assets in 2023. Big companies have mostly switched new hires to 401k style investment options away from pensions. But there's the California Public Employees Retirement System. They voted in March to reduce its target stock allocation from 42% to 37%. And then their alternative assets. They're in the business of not losing money. Companies in the S&P 500 trade at 24 times their past 12 months earnings. The five-year average is 22 times. We're also in a higher interest rate environment where you get more for parking money in fixed income, whether it be government securities, whether it be money market accounts. Companies like Johnson & Johnson, who have a big pension for their employees who have been there for years and years and years before they phased it into a 401k, they dropped their allocation in stocks from 62% down to 58%. So just try to pay attention to the big money. They're giving you some hints where they see value. And they're not you. They're much bigger than you, which again, I'm not saying makes it all better. Elsewhere in financial news, Elon Musk says in an email that Tesla sent incorrectly low severance packages to some laid off employees. Ain't that something? The guy's asking for a $56 billion pay package, which I don't think he's worth. Not now that EV sales are declining. But he'll do AI. Yeah, a lot of people are going to do AI. I think the battery investments at Tesla are the most valuable part of the company at this point in time. But he keeps promising better batteries that never seem to show. So he cuts 10% of his workforce. He asks for a $56 billion pay package. All I'm going to say is that feels disconnected. March home sales dropped despite a huge surge in supply. It's because mortgage rates, right? When mortgage rates get around 7.5%, they become a hurdle that a lot of people don't feel comfortable jumping over. We are not going back to mortgage rates under 6% probably until 2026. If 2026... So what I'm advising is consider getting a mortgage now and refinancing later. Consider getting a short-term rate, like 7-year ARM and 5-year ARM, There's 2 extra years that you're buying yourself with a slightly higher rate. But think about it. Again, consult a professional before doing anything, okay? I'm looking 30. At a stock today. I'm looking at a stock and I can't talk about it. Millennials want to retire by age 60. That was a big story in USA Today. I say good luck to you on that one. Not saving enough. They're trying, though. They're the best group at Savers at this point in time. You can find me online at Rob Black Show. I have a big event coming up May 9th. Palo Alto Elks Lodge, Wealth Preservation Retirement Planning with CFP, Chad Burton. May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30, Thursday. Sign up at robblackshow.com. robblackshow.com.
Visit the Rob Black Show online at robblackshow.com. Listen to archived podcasts, market updates, and information from EP Wealth Certified Financial Planners online at robblackshow.com.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.